Okay, I'd like to call this special meeting of the Board of the Community Services District to order. We'll dispense with the Pledge of Allegiance. Carol, can you call roll?
President Simon?
Here.
Vice President Steele? Director Graves? Here. Director Keyes?
Here.
Director Leeson?
Here.
Thank you. Okay, I'm also going to dispense with public comment as there is no public in the building tonight, and I will take our open session into closed session. Legal.
Discovery Bay Board will adjourn to closed session in accordance with the items as listed on the agenda.
Can you shut everything off, Carol? We'll lock us in here. Are we giving something away? Thank you for coming to the CSD meeting tonight. If you'll rise and join Bill in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Carol, can you call roll?
President Simon?
Here.
Vice President Steele?
Here.
Director Graves?
Here.
Director Keyes?
Here.
Director Leeson?
Here.
Thank you very much. Nice to see everybody here tonight. What a nice crowd. At this time, this takes us to public comment. During public comment, the public may address the board on any issue within the board's jurisdiction, which is not on the agenda. The public may comment on any item on the agenda at the time that item is called for discussion. Any person wishing to speak must come up and speak from the podium. There will be no dialogue between the commenter and the board, and any clarifying questions will go through the chair. Any public comment? Come on up. Right up the microphone right here, sir.
Hi.
How are you?
Good evening. My name is Eric Sheffield. I've been a resident of Discovery Bay for about 9 years now and live over in Lakeshore. I'm here tonight to ask the board to create an agenda item for a dog park, something that we definitely need out here. And I know it's been visited once and kind of stalled out a little bit. I would like to create a space to have that conversation reopen. I've recently completed a 16-week course, basically revolves around creating a community project. This is what I took on, and already had a few meetings with Farron, and I've actually done a lot of legwork to kind of see what's going on. And I'm also, what I'm offering is to take a leadership role in this. I understand there's people are really busy, Farron's got a lot going on, and this is a kind of a hot topic, and it can drag out, so I'm willing to take a role to facilitate whatever needs to be done. So,
thank you very much.
Yeah.
Is there any other public comment? This time we'll close public comment. We have a presentation tonight, and before we have the presentation, I'd like to bring Amanda. Where's Amanda? Can you come up and talk about the Odyssey of the Mind? I'll tell people, a lot of people, for instance, us, aren't very familiar with it.
Sure. Well, you know, the kids actually have a presentation that explains Odyssey of the Mind. Would you like to hear it?
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Marty.
Yeah, spread out.
Yeah.
Hello, my name is Wyatt Taylor. This is my first year on the team sports. I couldn't believe we won the California State Championship. We faced both our long-term problem and our short-term problem. And we are so proud to represent California in the World Finals.
We are very proud of you. Okay, we have a little presentation of our own. Let me put my reading glass. The Byron Unified School District Odyssey of the Mind Academic Competition Program is proud to announce that the Discovery Bay team has won the California State Championship and is headed to the World Finals to represent the state of California. Over 750 teams competed in California. The Discovery Bay team won the California State Champions with top placement in their spontaneous problem solution in their technical presentation of a not-so-haunted house, which included 14 special effects engineered by the students on the team. Over 800 teams from around the world will compete in the 35th Odyssey of the Mind World Finals, which will take place May 27th through June 1st at Iowa State University. The location does change every year. The competition emphasizes creativity and teamwork and has grown into the largest international creative problem-solving competition worldwide. Millions of kids from around the world have been working hard all year perfecting their solutions to OPTEM problems and competing within their regions and states. Only a few will advance to the World Finals. These teams represent the best of the best creative minds. The Discovery Bay Smarties team is among them. While the competition is fierce, there is also a feeling of camaraderie among competitors. Many students form lifelong friendships that span the U.S. and the globe. We are extremely proud of you guys, and I would like to present to you, I'm going to call your names one by one. Wyatt Taylor. Come on up, young man. Supervisor Mary Pipo's office has a proclamation for you. Assemblyman Frazier has one, and the town of Discovery Bay, and thank you very much. Kids have to sit through the whole meeting.
They might be able to help.
Sure.
You want to get in front?
Yeah, let's go in front.
All right, and they're all going to stand behind you, okay? So just one step forward. Future leaders with current leaders. All right. And one, two. And one, two, three. Thanks, guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah,
you can all move forward now. Okay, area agency reports. We have the Sheriff's Department here.
Good evening. Good. How are you doing, sir?
Good. Good. Thanks for coming.
Oh, you're welcome. All right. There's a lot of paperwork going around. It. I made some copies for the general public, and I'll put them back there if anybody wants to grab them on the way out. I hope I made enough. I was kind of worried I didn't.
Is this a summary, or do we have a lot of crime this month?
Summary. It's just a summary. For the month of April, we had 598 calls for service. That's compared to 544 in March, about a 10% increase calls for service in Discovery Bay. We had 10 arrests in this town, two property crime related, one arrest for unlawful possession of a weapon, one criminal threat, five arrested on warrants, and one drunk in public. We had seven tows and 93 sites for parking violations. Property crimes, identity thefts, surprisingly just a little bit on the upside. We had six in April compared to two in March. Most of them came as in the form of credit card accounts that were being opened in other people's names and tax filings, income tax filings. So be aware of that. Other property crimes, thefts, we had one auto burglary, three residential burglaries. In one of those, the suspects were identified as juveniles, and they were referred to juvenile probation. We had seven miscellaneous petty thefts. Four of those were thefts from vehicles, and three were from vehicles that were left unlocked. So again, just your monthly reminder to lock your vehicles and keep your valuables locked and out of view and bring them inside. A couple of things to warn to the public of some scams going on that have been reported. A couple of examples of scams that have risen suspects sending flyers or emails announcing that a victim or intended victim is a winner of a survey drawing, and they send a fictitious check, and they want the victim to cash the check and send the money back to the unknown suspect. Another type of scam is our email solicitation of tutors being sought, where checks are being mailed out with instructions to cash the check and wire the remaining funds to the unknown suspect. And believe it or not, people have fallen for these type of scams. Along with these other scams, there are other types of scams that emails were unknown suspects are asking for help to get a loved one or a family member out of jail in a foreign country. And like I said, most of the time those scams are discarded, but some people fall victims to them, usually the elderly and those with a limited understanding of the English language. I also printed out a 3-month crime comparison quarterly compared to 2013 and 2014. Violent crimes in Discovery Bay have remained unchanged and relatively low. Property crimes as a whole unchanged. However, we are still slightly up on petty thefts due to thefts from unlocked vehicles. And to close it out, I'm sad to say that this will be my last my last CSD.
You're breaking up with us?
I am being reassigned to, I'll be the commander of Marine Patrol and Air Support Services.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So I will, I'll still be around. And I'd like to thank the CSD board and the town of Discovery Bay for just a remarkable 4 months of service.
It's a pleasure having you. We're sorry to see you go.
Any questions?
Who's coming in? Do you know?
Lieutenant Darren Hobbs. He's he has worked Delta Station in the past as a shift supervisor and as a deputy, so he's familiar with the area. You will be in good hands. A very competent lieutenant. Watch commander.
And tonight's your last night with us?
No, I'll be here until May 19th, and then I'll be coming into the meetings to introduce him and to pass the torch on.
Good luck in your new venture.
Thank you very much. Any questions from anybody?
Questions from the public? Board?
Does Air Patrol ever come out to Discovery Bay?
Oh, yeah.
All the time they're out here.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yes.
Just send a group with a beer, you'll find.
No, and we are, we will be busy both in Discovery Bay, on land and in the water now that the holiday season, the holidays are coming up.
Thank you for your service to us. We appreciate it.
I wanted to thank you for the triathlon Sunday out here.
That was great.
Yeah. I appreciate it. Well attended. We felt very had you covered with you folks.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Thank you. Ooh, next on the list. Highway Patrol's not here tonight. Chief Henderson?
Good evening, board. Give you a quick little update on the district. Starting off for call responses for the month of April. The month of April, the district handled 511 calls. District-wide, we have an average response time of 7 minutes and 4 seconds. In the Discovery Bay area, there were 52 calls in the month of April with an average response time of 8 minutes and 56 seconds. When we compare that to March, there were 57 calls in the month of March with a response time of 8 minutes and 18 seconds. District still, as you're well aware of, relying on auto aid from our outside agency, Contra Costa, on our nearest border. In the month of April, Contra Costa Fire responded into the district 17 times, providing us with 19 engines for the month. We reciprocated back into Contra Costa's district 12 times with 15 engines. So compared to normally, that's, it's almost a 1-to-1, where you normally see that a 2-to-1 or a 3-to-1 ratio. One of the biggest factors in that was they had a lot of apparatus, their wildland apparatus, preparing for wildland season that really has never ended this year because of the drought. And so we ended up assisting a lot on some vegetation fires. Little update of this week's board meeting on Monday night. Board is running parallel tracks right now on a revenue measure. The board approved to hire an engineer to look at a benefit assessment versus running a parcel tax. As you may be aware or not, benefit assessment is a little different than a parcel tax. It's done by an engineer. The funds for a benefit assessment can only be used for fire suppression, so it can't be used for medical responses administration type items. It also, you have to be able to show that there's a special benefit to each piece of property. With that being said, it's done by an engineer. The voting on that is different also. Instead of going out to the general public or the registered voters, it goes to the property owner. The ballots are weighted based on numbers of properties, type of property, from there. The ballots are returned by mail. There's a 45-day election period. And then they're counted. If 50% plus one vote vote not to approve it, the board can't move any forward with it. If the threshold is less than 50% on the against it, the board then has the ability to put on the assessment. The timeline that the district's looking at for a benefit assessment, we're running, like I said, a parallel timeline for the November election. The engineer's report would be back to the district in July. The board would make a decision no later than the first week of August. If the board moved forward with a benefit assessment, those ballots would go out August 15th and would have to be returned by October 6th. The counting and all that. Either way, if the board does not decide to move forward with a benefit assessment and goes back to the parcel tax, that would have to be in, the board would have to approve the ordinance and move forward no later than August 8th to be on the November ballot for this year. Either way, both revenue measures do not bring any revenue into the district for fiscal year 14-15 because of the time to get on the tax roll. Tax rolls are done by August 10th each year, as you're well aware of, and to get on the two-part for property tax. The other thing that the district's experiencing now is because the SAFER grant's running out, we're starting to see personnel testing across the state, and we've lost four firefighters in the last month to outside agencies, and we're going to have a hard time keeping things going if we're not on the direction for additional revenue enhancement.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
If the benefit assessment takes place, does it just keep the service status quo? What actually have, what's the benefit to the residents? Does it change anything at all?
Well, as I reported back to you several months ago, you know, without the SAFER grant, our base level of services, we can afford three engine companies like we had to do in 2012. And if you remember, in 2012, we had the one engine company in Oakley, the one in Brentwood, and the one out here in Discovery Bay. Based on, you know, the assessed valuations across the district and even seeing some improvements as we're budgeting for 14-15, there's not going to be any additional revenue beyond those three engine companies that we're anticipating at this point. So having all five engine companies, there's a special benefit at that point to everybody because it takes five engines and we're not relying on mutual aid for a structure fire. There's going to be a lot more to follow in reports in the next several months for you. And as you're, you know, Director Graves, as your liaison, and we're communicating and keeping him well informed of what's going on. So.
Thank you. Any questions? Public? Questions?
Have a nice evening.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Supervisor Mary Pifo's office, Karen Cornell.
Good evening. A couple things to report out for you guys tonight. First off, reminder to the board and to the community, don't forget to get your comments in on the Bay Delta Conservation Plan draft EIR and EIS. Next, we had a successful, I'd say, Rick meeting in our office today about illegal signage. Your general manager was in attendance, as well as some other community representatives. I'm sure you all are aware that illegal signage is an issue in your community. On four Saturdays that we had our public works staff come out and remove signs in the right-of-way, they either removed from 100 to 50 signs each day. That's a continuing conversation, but we did have a meeting on that today. And then also, it is that time of year, as the lieutenant reported out, boating season. So reminder, boats and RVs and trailers in your driveway are not allowed. So code enforcement will start to see that as a problem. And if you have your neighbors that are doing it, please feel free to let us know. Next, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but we put in a request to Caltrans to mow Highway 4 in the Discovery Bay area, and they did that this week. It looks a lot better. On that same line, the supervisor wanted me to check in with your board to see if there's interest. She wants to make the request to put in some shrubbery or oleander, something drought resistant, into the median and on the sides to add some beautification to the area. So we'll be looking to you to see if that is something you support. And then lastly, we're hitting that deadline on May 16th for the first round of applications for the or forms for the waterfront signage for each of your properties. So if you haven't turned your form in and you want a sign, $50 to the CSD by May 16th to get your address signed for your dock or backyard. And that's it.
Karen, the signs that they're picking up, the illegal signs,
mm-hmm.
are they picking up realtor signs also, or just...
I'm not aware that they have. If they're in the right of way, they may have. I'm not sure that was much of the issue, but the...
That question I was asked that by somebody who's actually put a sign up there and had a sign removed a couple of times, and he said, well, my sign's being taken. How come the realtors can put a sign out?
Public Works takes from the right of way, and that's what they were out enforcing. Yeah, if it was in the right of way, then they were out enforcing.
Thank you.
Karen, what's the deadline on the comments period?
Ooh, you know, it was the end of April, and I know it was. I think it was extended till sometime in June, but to have the exact date, I don't know.
Can you send me an email?
Yeah, unless Erica may know the deadline. The 13th of June, it looks like it was extended from. I think it was April 29th originally, and it sounds like they may have changed it to. Extended it to June 13th. So get your comments in.
Any questions for the board? Public comment? Thank you, Karen.
Thank you.
On that, you will have a comment letter at your next board meeting.
Okay. Committee reports. We have no transplant, county planning, code enforcement. Was there a code enforcement meeting? Right.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes. I have typed up the notes for you. And I also attached the code enforcement report in case you have anything to turn on. It is on the computer. The main thing is there's a lot of people that are going ahead with building without having a permit. And so it might be something for us to think about maybe putting it in the next pipeline to remind people that even if you're remodeling your kitchen or you're adding to your dock, that you do have to get a permit from Contra Costa County.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. No special district reports?
Yes.
Got something. Go ahead.
Yeah, I attended the special district association meeting at Central Contra Costa Cemetery District. That was a meeting that we had a discussion on voting for our representative. That took place. Also, Supervisor Candace Anderson from District 2 gave an update on the county budget and land development. And she also brought out something that we might want to put into our pipeline. There's an app or something called Pulse Point. It has to do with an emergency alert system tied into 911 where being notified if there was a 911 or something like that. We looked at that. Oh, okay. And then for whatever reason, there's a boot inspector application app that's available to let you know how many places were inspected and who made it and who didn't make it. So I'm submitting that to who didn't make it. Yeah, exactly. Well, it's available out there if you need it. That's my report.
Thanks, Bill. Consent calendar, if there's nothing needs to be pulled, can I get a motion, please?
So moved.
Thank you. Any discussion? Call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Okay. Business and action items. G1, agency comment request development plan application DP14-3017. Staff?
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. This is the same item that came before you at our last meeting 3 weeks ago due to the 5 Wednesdays in April. Regarding the Pantages development project. After the board provided their comments and I drafted a letter to the county, before that letter was sent, I did I did have a conversation with Mark Armstrong, the developer of Pantages, and Mark has asked that I bring this back to you, because they have had a change in the direction that they want to go, and he would like to explain that to you this evening.
Yeah, right here, Piper.
The plan is on page 22 of 73 of your packet. So if you scroll up to page 22.
Page 22, you said?
Well, you guys are scary now.
Just go back. They're all mixed, Kevin. Okay. Go to G1 and just go down a couple of pages. There we have 22. You'll see a map, two maps.
It's a comparison between the two. That's good.
Okay.
Ready?
Yep. Fire away.
Hi. Mark Armstrong with Pantages Bay's project. As you know, we received approval from the Board of Supervisors back in December. Thereafter, we started on doing our improvement plans, and lo and behold, discovered to our dismay that there were some structural issues with the walls that we were putting in, the cement soil mix walls, given the height of the walls and their vertical nature of the walls, the amount of dirt that they're holding back. It just became a problem. Reclamation District 800 looked at it, their engineer looked at it, our structural engineer, who we had just gotten on board. This is something in retrospect, we should have dealt with earlier on, but we didn't. So we goofed, and then we ended up having to address it at this point. But the bottom line is, Rec 800 doesn't want to accept ownership of the walls and their maintenance long term, as was the original thought. It would be, given the limited longevity, expectation of life, 25 to 50 years on some of those walls, they just aren't the kind of circumstance that you want to put homeowners in with that responsibility to maintain them. The walls are put in by way of equipment that's on the shore. It works fine when there's no house there, but once the house is there, that gets to be a real problem. So we have to revise the plan to be something that is consistent with essentially the riprap slopes, 2-to-1 slopes that are throughout Discovery Bay. We've got some soils engineering issues that we've dealt with that we're going to present to staff, to county staff, to address those concerns. The plan, as you can tell, is one where we're focusing the waterfront areas on the south side of the property and on the north side of the property, with the exception of the North Cove. We are proposing to include a larger majority of the traditional homes. I think the traditional home layout is in some respects nicer than the current plan because it isn't so linear. With this revised plan, we don't need to have an EVA going around the open space. It simply could be a trail, which would be more attractive and appropriate, we think. We end up losing about 11 waterfront lots. That's something we didn't want to do.
Awesome.
But
that's it.
116 to 105. But I mean, that's
smaller lots.
They're a little smaller lots. Yep. Matt, you're as I understood it for Rick. I mean, your position was we prefer the old plan. I prefer the old plan too. But that's sort of an academic discussion because the old plan can't be built. If your board wants to express your preference for the old plan, but your support as well for the new plan, that's really what I'm looking for. Yeah, and you can't, when you have structural engineers questioning the longevity of of something that we had understood to be indefinite, and you have Rec 800 who's in this business saying, this is not a good idea.
Seawalls and five on the top.
Yeah, I know.
The technology's not there.
That's what, I mean, yeah, that's what Record Hunter says. That's what our structural engineer says. It's an issue.
So at this point, you need from us a comment letter that we have no objection to the new plan.
Yeah, or we support the new plan as well. That's something like that.
Any more discussion?
Yep. You're in the financial seat. We were trying to help you.
I appreciate that. Yeah. I appreciate that. I recognize that fact. It just Rick really couldn't change the letter to reflect what I was saying without coming back to you, and I said I'd rather come back to you and have a clearer letter on record.
From my standpoint, if you're happy with the new proposal, then
well, I'm disappointed that we.
Which it allows you to proceed.
It allows us to proceed with a waterfront project. It has the basic, all the basic provisions in the old planner, and it's just a reshuffling of the deck. Yeah, it's not something we want to do.
I was just saying, 11 lots is
a lot of money.
Yeah.
A lot of money.
Chris, any comment? Kevin?
It is what it is. Okay. I continue to support Pantages and the high quality development that's going to bring it to Discovery Bay. I support the wetlands that you're bringing in and the marine safety issue that you're mm-hmm. helping with. So I still, as an individual, I still support the plan. Again, as you are, I'm disappointed that there aren't more waterfront lots being more in line. But we have experienced that several different of our bays, and there's a new one now that's opened up, the Calmont Gorilla, when it's not done properly, 30 years later, you're paying a price. So I'd rather see it done properly.
And this would be, given the mile plus of shoring wall that we would have in there, if it turned out not to work, it'd be a disaster.
It'd be catastrophic.
It just wasn't worth talking about anymore when you get that kind of report from the structural engineer.
Good. I am in favor of the project as well. I support it. And do we have any public comment? At this point, I'm looking at a motion to give direction to the board and to the staff.
Submit a letter that says that we continue to support this program and accept the modifications as delivered or as.
I think our normal is we have no objection to it.
The due date on this is tomorrow, so that we will send the letter out. Mark, just so you know, we'll email it to them, follow and send it to John as well, electronically as well as in the mail.
Perfect. Thank you.
Second to vote. You second. Any further discussion? Call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. Item 2, consideration, approval, and adoption of resolution number 2014-09 to revise park rules and regulations, forms, fees for the town of Discovery Bay, CSD owned and maintained parks and facilities. Steph?
Thank you. As Farron is making her way to the podium, this subject, as we build our program, has been coming back to you. This is the third time it's been here to you since last July. I think this is hopefully going to be one of the final versions of it. But we are coming back to you with the fees for the rental of the rooms, the pool, that sort of thing. So I'll go ahead and let Farron get into that and explain to you the process that she went through in establishing those fees.
Sure. Thank you, Rick. So we are looking at just a few changes to our park rental fee schedule, specifically in our swimming pool rates as well as the indoor facilities. The park rentals themselves, the fields, the picnic areas, we didn't touch anything with that schedule. Just an FYI, currently we're booked out in all of our parks for the month of this month of May. We have reservations every weekend, so we get a lot of positive comments about where our pricing is for that, so we didn't take that back to the drawing board. With the opening of the community center and starting rentals in January this year, we knew at that time, it had been discussed with the board, that you guys wanted to take a look at that price schedule a little bit and come back after we had some time to kind of breathe and operate for a while, and so that's what we've done. If you look on, you have a couple pages inside, a comparison charts. with the facility rental comparison, we used Antioch, Tracy, Brentwood, and Oakley, and we tried to find rooms that were comparably sized with not only just the size of the room, but the total occupancy, and use their rates to compare to where we were in various categories. Across the board, the majority of them were doing a private, nonprofit, and commercial rate. We had kind of stuck before going resident, non-resident, commercial, nonprofit, and we had a multiple tiered structure. We didn't really differentiate. It was 30, you know, well, between like days and times of the week. So not only do you have these tier changes of who's running, but then also when they're running. And so the recommendations on the changes here are that we're adopting a more simplified tier process of, you know, you're a private person, you're a commercial person, or you're nonprofit, and then, but opening up the variety into days and times of the week that are a little bit more desirable for parties and rentals. So if during the week, we a little bit cheaper, and I'm sorry. So then, on. So we have a weekday, so if you compare the sheet, so there's a comparison, but then on the facility rental fee schedule, this is a new fee schedule. We haven't seen this before. It was combined with our park rentals. I am trying to simplify that so it is separated now that something else that's changed in this. We have two different reservation packages with different information requirements and insurance requirements for our indoor facilities as well as our outdoor, and it was kind of confusing having the same fee schedule in with the people who were reserving. So we separated that. And you'll see our reception area, our arts and multi-purpose room. The swimming pool is in there for the rental, facility rental. That was something we didn't have before as well. So not only did we look at the user fees for the swimming pool, but you also have changes on private party rentals of the swimming pool area. That would include a lifeguard with that time, depending on, you know, one or two, depending on how large their party was. There's some notes in there, some details, but and then the user fee schedule seemed very in line when we did our comparison study. So the only changes we made were adding the non-swimmer spectator rates and the season passes, which was a request from our board. So if you have questions or would like more detail.
I would like to make one change to the second page, to the first page, the facility rental fee schedule, the very first sentence. It says nonprofit group shall present verified and current 501c4. We should just delete the 501c4 and that they just need to present verified and current nonprofit status, because there's 501c3s, 4s, 5s, 6s, and they're all nonprofits. So. This board asked us to bring back a nonprofit rate when we discussed this at the last meeting. So we're following up, and it was so that our local nonprofits like the Lions Club or the schools.
It's only 10% difference in the pricing. It doesn't look like it.
It's
it make any difference, but we would break that or have that extra fee schedule.
The private versus nonprofit discount is about 24% on average across the board. Mm-hmm. The increase over private versus commercial is about a 31% increase. I don't understand.
Why wouldn't we just have a private commercial rate, or, you know, simple? Why don't we have this discussion now? No, it's all right. I think the board already asked her to do this.
It would be residential. It would be a residential rate if you wanted to come in and rent it as a birthday party, versus if you want to come in and use a facility to, you know, for a commercial venture to make money in the commercial venture.
We've always offered a nonprofit rate. I just took it back and tried to get it more in line with what was competitive and what our neighbors were doing.
25% is a lot of big difference.
Sure.
Okay. On the swimming pool rental for a party on a, let's just say, a weekend, how are we going to kind of mitigate mom and the three kids who come over at whatever time?
Parties would only be available during non-recreational swim hours. So even if you wanted to use the pool, it would only be available if the pool was not open for rec swim. So there's limited hours of pool, private pool rental, and they would have to contact the recreation programs coordinator to determine the availability.
Oh, okay. I didn't see it on there. So,
sure.
So you've addressed that.
Yeah.
Thank you. I would like to commend staff to do for doing all the analysis and kind of making us look like everybody else. Fee-wise, I think it goes a long way. So thanks for the job.
If I can, just real quick, Director Graves raises a good issue in terms of the language. I would recommend that you use the language to say nonprofit with tax exempt status.
Any other comments or queries?
No.
Kevin? No? Chris?
I think that word gets to be added to my questions.
Is that again? Public comment? Okay, so we need a motion to change the wording.
So moved.
Need a second?
Second.
Any discussion?
I'm sorry, aren't you actually, it's a motion of consideration approval of adoption resolution number 2014-09 as language amended.
All right.
That would be my motion.
So second.
Any further discussion? Off the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Thanks, Farron.
Thank you.
Okay. Item 3, consideration approval of overnight camping request and fee waiver for the Great American Campout event at Cornell Park on June 28th, 2014. June 29th, 2014.
Thank you. Farron's coming back up, but this is something that you've seen in prior years. We've tweaked it as we've gone from year to year. This year, actually, Director Graves brought this to my attention a couple weeks ago, that sky lanterns are now illegal in the state of California. And so we put that restriction in as well, especially since they had a fire there last year in one of the trees. So it's basically the same set of conditions you've approved in the past. It's the same type of event with the restriction of no sky lanterns.
Yeah, it happened to be when I was studying the agenda for the meeting tonight. Of course, we go through the initial study for costs of using the park, and then I go to the next thing where we're exempting the use of the park. But then as I read it, I just want to confirm that I'm thinking about this correctly. Why are we exempting a fee? But I see this is because the town is a sponsor of this, and the goodwill that it promotes, is that why we're exempting anybody from being responsible for the fees? That's our contribution as a sponsor?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Bill? Oh, I think it's a great community event, and I would hope that it would continue for a long time.
Marianne? I think it's a great idea also. Any public comment? Okay, so we need a
move staff recommendation.
Second.
Any further discussion? Call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thanks, Darren. Okay, item 4, pre-authorization to submit auction bid for one 2011 Case 570 MXT Series 3 4x4 skid loader with a not-to-exceed bid of $55,000.
Well said, Mr. President. Thank you, Mr. Mr. President, members of the board, real quickly, since our current budget has in it a $100,000 line item for the purchase of a piece of equipment similar to this. Virgil had been doing some recon on it and had gotten some informal pricing, actually formal pricing, but just from one vendor, and it's about $83,000, not including tax. So you're looking at a very significant reduction in cost for a unit while used, and I'm not a big fan of purchasing used equipment. In this case, I would concur that if we're going to go in this direction, that this is the way to go. It's got less than 600 hours. It will meet all of our needs for a very long period of time. The bid is scheduled through Ritchie Brothers Auctioneers on May 14th. Thank you.
Is this a sealed bid?
It's a sealed bid. It's an electronic bid. It's an online bid.
They show you the status every day who's bidding?
Pardon me? Every minute.
So it has current price on it?
They'll start off at a low number, and then every 5 minutes or every 1 second, yeah, whatever it might be, will be raised. So we'll be satisfied that day.
When did the bidding start?
It started
So we're just looking for pre-authorization to be able to do that. We have to put some money. We just want to make sure that we have the authority to go ahead and do that. It's a little different than going through the three-bid process on a piece of equipment. So I want to get the authority from the board to be able to do that.
I would just think that it's well worth the effort to try and save the district some money. I think it's prudent. Any public comment? Okay, call. We got a motion. We have a second. Call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, informational item only. Update and discussion concerning recent organizational changes within the Veolia Water corporate structure. Rick?
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. Lenita is here from Veolia as well as Sachin. And Furman's over there hiding in the corner, and Bernie's here as well. This is a follow-up to the meeting that we had, the special meeting that we had with Veolia back in December as it related to the organizational changes that they had within their organization. As Sachin is handing this out, I'll put it up on the board. So we're just coming back to you with their report of where they are and where we are relative to that December meeting.
Thanks, Sachin, for passing those out. I'm going to do a small introduction, and then we'll have Sachin get you up to speed on the more detailed technical aspects of our presentation. But again, my name is Lenita McCauley-Bates, and I am the Senior Vice President at Veolia North America. Currently, we are not only water, but we are also energy. We are happy and very privileged to be invited to come back here after being here about 3 months ago and asked to express to you what our organizational changes have been and also update you on some HR concerns and some INC work concerns. There has been a couple of changes that have taken place recently. We are unfortunately losing Furman Garcia from Discovery Bay, and he is moving on to another facility for us in Veolia, and he'll be moving to San Diego. So congratulations. We're sorry to see him go, but we're happy that he has found another home. And also, we would like to welcome a familiar face, Bernie Sadler, back to Discovery Bay, and he will be the new project manager for the water and wastewater. So congratulations, Bernie, and welcome back to the Veolia team. So now we'll have Sachin Chawla come and give you a little bit of an update on our technical aspects, and I'll jump back into the HR human resource aspects.
Good evening, Mr. President, member of the board. I know some of the concerns that the board and the city staff had raised during the last meeting. We just wanted to address that and update the board about it. The first one was SCADA and INC support due to the Veolia reorganization. Right after that, we actually did retain Kip Edgley, who used to work for Veolia. Now he's an independent consultant. Kip has been helping and has been retained and has been helping on the capital projects and has been retained as an architect for future capital projects also. So he's been working with the city engineer on that. In addition to Kip, we also retained and hired Cascade Integration. Cascade has been helping us out on both capital projects, and also there was one concern last year which was raised due to the reorganization of the staff. We had to let go, or our INC technician left, and we saw a need of substituting that position with an O&M tech. Cascade is actually doing whatever is in Veolia's scope. Cascade is performing that work for Veolia. And in addition to that, the town, you know, due to this relationship, the town continues to get Veolia's preferred rate on panels and INC equipment through our contract. The second concern which the board had was the CCTV and flushing work. As per the contract, Veolia is supposed to flush and do CCTV for 66,000 feet, and we've met that requirement as of April 30th.
So we haven't totally completed
Yes, yes, we fully completed for the last contract year. The other was, you know, how are we still supporting? So there are people from our asset management team, Dave Kaufman, Dan Brown. They've visited the site multiple times. They've helped with the computerized maintenance management system and the capital plan, which is also a contract obligation for us to submit. They perform condition assessment on the plant equipment and lift stations. And at this point, you know, I'll go into staffing, but we were waiting to conduct another round of training with the maintenance supervisor, who's on board right now. So that's also planned. Our technical direction group, which was, I think you met Ed Dix last time. He's been supporting the project. You know, whenever we have SSOs, Veolia still goes through a process of investigation, you know, whether that was preventable, non-preventable, and people like Ed Dix, Holly Weatherhead, I mean, there are other people in the company. We have a call, you know, following the event just to understand, you know, what lessons can be learned. So these are the people who are continuing to support the project too. Trojan UV, we contacted, got a price quote for training on the Trojan UV. I know that was a concern which was raised, and we were just waiting for our maintenance supervisor to start to, so we will be scheduling this training in the next 1 month now. Additionally, I think you've met other people from Veolia who live in Northern California, Chris McAuliffe, John O'Hare, and these people continue to support the project whenever the project manager needs help on anything.
Staffing, did you want to cover staffing? Or?
As I am not going to go over, you all, Lenita already announced, you know, Bernie joining in and Foreman leaving. And I think at this point, you know, one concern I'm sure the board has, and we also have, as whenever we make any change in the organization, is transition. At this time, we have a written transition plan, which we can share it. I know, Rick, I haven't sent you that. We can share it with you, and you can share it with the board. And so we go through the proper transition plan, make sure everything is transferred over, the knowledge is transferred over to Bernie, even though Bernie knows about this project, but, you know, just the history of it since he was gone. So we're going through that right now. the maintenance supervisor position, last time when we met, we had not hired this person. We actually went through a process where we scheduled numerous interviews. We shortlisted a few candidates. Some candidates, we offered a job. They backed out in the last minute. But during this whole 4 months, we still had support from other projects where people came from other projects to support the project on CMMS, on maintenance, preventive maintenance. I think before Bernie came on board as a PM, Bernie was also helping out in the interim as a maintenance supervisor. But as of April 14, we hired a person, his name is Ulrich Mayo. He has over 20 years of experience in maintenance. His last job was with the city of Stockton, where he was actually like a maintenance supervisor slash technician for city of Stockton on the wastewater side. And he's been doing really well. And we are continuing to train him to get him up to speed on Veolia systems and programs right now. Staff retention, do you want to talk about staff retention or?
Speak about staff retention. This is another concern that the board had in regards to staff going out and coming in Discovery Bay. And we've been concerned about it as well, as you know. So we asked our human resources department to look at this issue and determine what is going on with staff, why can't we keep them in Discovery Bay, and what we need to do to further attract and retain qualified individuals. What we found out in regards to our compensation is that we're paying pretty darn well here in Discovery Bay. We're 18% above national average. So pay is not the problem. So you look in a little bit deeper, what is the problem and what could be the problem? One of the things that we need to make sure that we do is train and develop our employees. So we have a Veolia campus. We have courses online and classrooms to develop our supervisor and managers. We're going to ensure that we have the employees in Discovery Bay take advantage of these opportunities. And also, we pay for outside training, so we're going to encourage our employees to take the outside training and get more involved in that respect. And we're going to give opportunities for the employees to grow within the organization, prepare them for the project manager position, and so on and so forth. We're just going to do good training and getting them prepared for the next step in life.
There has been no voluntary resignation since November 2013, except, of course, Berman in regards to our project manager position, with him being offered another position. But we're going to be, one of my main things that I've been doing and looking at all over California is making sure that we hire within person's territory, where people live. Because if you work where you live, you're happier, you might stay a little bit longer. So we're going to concentrate on recruiting right here in Discovery Bay for Discovery Bay positions. And I used to live in Discovery Bay, so I know how great it is to live here, and, you know, why not work here too? And we're also going to use the newspapers. We're going to make sure that we get involved in the local newspapers and ensure that the jobs are posted here, and so we can retain employees here. And also, there are some other options that we're going to use: Indeed, Juju, Simply Hired, Pandora. But again, I think the local newspapers will be the best avenue to attract local talent.
You guys are missing the newspapers, so I don't know how you're going to cover it, but you need to have the press on that.
Have the press. Yeah. That is what Rick mentioned recently. He gave me an email. I sent this to him, so he sent me that email, and we're going to put that on there as well. Yep. And that has more circulation, of course. So we'll be happy to take any questions. We're, you know, we can come back and update you in another few months if you would like. But we believe that the changes that we've made, the things that we've taken back, should satisfy the board that we're moving in the right direction.
I want to thank you for coming tonight. We very much appreciate your report.
All right.
Have you followed up with it? Is there any comment, Marianne? Bill?
Oh, I think this is positive, a step in the right direction. I appreciate Meolia taking whatever the situation is and making it better. I certainly think that recruiting locally will help tremendously, and I haven't heard anything negative at this point, so okay. We're happy.
Thank you.
Kevin?
Yeah, I think that it's really important. I appreciate the fact that you're taking the training seriously. And training to better the individual and prepare them for moving up within the system. We've used that same process in the department, and as I thought it was kind of corny, oh, you got to fill out this training plan every year. But, you know, it's really worked within our department to raise the level of how many people care about their job, they feel appreciated, and they feel like there's more value to them. I think that's a very positive thing. I didn't used to believe it, but I think on the management team, I've come to believe that there is a definite value in that. I think
so proud of you.
I do as well. No, we do as well.
I can tell you, I've changed my mind, and it's great that I see that you guys do. I think that'll be a big help.
Great. I hope so.
Chris?
This is a really great update, and I appreciate all the work, and I know it's been a lot of work to get this far, but I wish you guys keep the caliber and what we're expecting. So you guys have a plan to do that, so thank you.
Any public comment?
I know Greg is here, and he may want to weigh in because he works. Virgil works with the day-to-day crew, the on-site staff. Gregory works with the capital team and the integration team, and I think that for the most part, he's been fairly happy with the way things have been going, with the maintaining that staffing level that they've had.
I have to say that I think things are definitely getting better. I'm not sure they're exactly where the town wants them, but from where we were 6 months ago, there's definitely been some progress.
Good. Thank you. Any other comments? Well, speaking for the board, I do thank you very much for coming.
Just came to me because you had asked whether we would like to have an update in the future sometime, and I think just based on Greg's comment that in the past 6 months or so we've seen improvement. Maybe it'd be up 6 months from now we have a little update and Greg would be involved, and that'd give us a kind of a year's look at how we're doing, how Viola's progressing, and I think it would be beneficial.
Great. We would love to come back.
Okay. Appreciate it. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right.
Again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Furman? Perma, good luck to you.
Pleasure.
Congratulations.
Today.
I saw you had a knife on. I was getting a little nervous there.
So
Okay, director's comments. Kevin, anything?
Bernie.
Oh.
Thank you.
Welcome back, Bernie. Any director's comments, Kevin?
You know, I have the my Hugh stole all my good news.
Which one?
Hugh.
Oh, Hugh did.
No,
yeah.
Good news. Yeah. So you got the report from the
Okay.
Same stuff.
Okay, Chris.
Yeah, on May 1st, I attended the Byron Union School District meeting, and I just want to let the public know that we do have a new Vista Oak Charter School that is coming to Discovery Bay Area, and this petition was approved. And they're going to be taking over some of the older units that are not being utilized at Byron or Excelsior Middle School. There's some older wing of buildings. It's going to help generate some income for the school district, and also provide a niche for some of the kids that maybe having some struggling and need some one-on-one. So it's going to start here in the fall.
Cool. No. Gave my report. Marianne.
I just want to make a brief comment. Rick and I have talked about this, but I would really think we need to look at the restrooms at the parks. They're just in such horrific condition.
It's going to be the next agenda item.
Great.
It's going under. General Manager's report.
Thank you. Each year we are required by the State Department of Health to distribute what is called a CCR, or a consumer confidence report. It is included in your agenda packets. It is in draft stage right now. I was talking to the company that actually puts it together and mails it out for us today. And they are in their final stages in getting it proof to us, so we should get a proof in the next week or so. But I did want the board to have an opportunity to take a look at it before it does go out. It is a big piece of what we do, and certainly with respect to all the different regulations and the different limits relative to our drinking water. So if you have any questions, Virgil here is here, he can answer them, I can answer them to the best of my abilities. And so if you guys have any questions.
No questions. Anything else?
Nope, thank you. Oh, no, I did have one more. I'm sorry.
I know you have something else.
I know. I notified all of you under separate cover this week that on June the 4th, CSDA will be here to present the district as a California District of Distinction Award. They will be making that presentation to the full board at the next meeting. And I think we should all be proud of that accomplishment, and thank you to the board for giving us the ability to be able to even compete and apply for it. So thank you.
I think it was a group effort.
Yeah, thanks for your leadership on that.
Absolutely. Yep. District?
Two.
District legal?
Nothing from me.
Legal?
Nothing from me, especially
sure
after that. Especially after that.
We have no committee updates. Correspondence, nothing to talk about. Public records requests, nothing. Future agenda items. I know that I would like to put the first one on there. We need to talk about the parks maintenance, our current contract, restroom care. Let's break this into possibly, I don't know, it'll be one or two items. But there's some serious neglect going on here. I'm concerned about the contract. Anything else to add to that, Grant?
Just so you know, the restroom maintenance is not the same company that does the landscape maintenance.
Okay, no, I understand it. But
I just want to give you that. I just wanted to make sure you knew that.
That was my question. Is that our in-house staff responsibility, or is that an outside vendor that does that? Or outside vendor.
Okay. Yeah, so let's make that two. Let's make that two items so we can discuss each one. Kevin, any others?
Not at this point.
Chris?
The front entry front entry improvement plans.
It's going to be a very landscaping meeting at the next meeting.
Yes.
Well, it's going to be at the next meeting.
Next meeting.
Lake Street.
The next meeting.
I'll be here. All right, so let's put these on the next agenda, which will be June. Yeah, both of them. Tough crowd. Okay.
The gentleman that spoke under public comments asked about the dog park. Would you like to have a conversation on that at some point in time?
Why don't we put it all together?
I'm going to tell you the June 4th meeting is going to be an extremely heavy meeting.
Well, I will take that item and move it to the next meeting in the middle of June.
Thank you.
But the other ones, make sure they're
yes.
The landscaping
okay.
Definitely needs to be on the June 4th meeting. Okay, with that, I thank all of you for coming, and we are adjourned.